And I'm just going to say that we'll give her an indulgence if she falls asleep once. Okay. Well, she's never going to talk to me before church again. Neglected stories of Jesus is a kind of our theme for this year. Okay. And neglected stories of Jesus, the stories that don't get much play, stories that on first reading seem to be simple but have a deeper meaning, and stories that remind us of the nature of Jesus while he walked on the earth, that man part of incarnation, okay? That man part of incarnation. And it's, today we have, we're still in Mark the first chapter. It's going to take us about a quarter to get out of Mark the first chapter. Mark's a great book, by the way, kind of a gospel that's ignored a little bit because it doesn't have all the stuff that we kind of like the Christmas story and that kind of thing, but it's a great teaching book. Okay, and it's a great book to teach ourselves. So we're in the first chapter of Mark. Jesus cleanses a leper. Okay, and it's not the only story of Jesus cleansing lepers, but it's the simplest one and the one that we don't read too much. Okay, so before we get into it, let's talk about what leprosy was. Okay, now, for those of you who have seen the original movie Ben-Hur with Charlton Heston, you'll remember that his family ended up being lepers. Now, I didn't see the new one that came out 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. Did it have that in it? Okay. But they were in very dire physical shape. You've probably seen pictures of lepers with, you know, the part of their face gone or their arms and it's fallen off. And that's not really what we're talking about, although that it could be included in that. It's just a variety of skin disorders from psoriasis, and we may have somebody here in the room who has psoriasis today, all the way to true leprosy, okay? Its symptoms range from just white patches on the skin to running sores to the loss of digits on the fingers and toes, okay? But it's not what we call leprosy today, which is Hansen's disease, which, by the way, is a bacterial infection, and while it is not curable really, it is easily controlled with antibiotics, and there's no need for the leper colonies that we used to have. You know, one of the Hawaiian Islands was originally a leper colony. People believed it was very infectious and communicable, and it in fact is not. So it may have been something like this, the man that may have, right, that may have been the simple thing about it. It might have been worse than that, but it probably was not, as you saw, Judah Ben-Hur's family in the movie, if you remember that movie, okay? And this is, when we associate it with the disease, we miss something, okay? And this is kind of just what we miss. For the Hebrews, it was a dreaded malady which rendered its victims ceremonially unclean, okay? So a person who had even psoriasis, okay, was required to call the priest, and the priest would look at it, and if it met the biblical or the law of Moses requirements, he would put that person in the in quarantine for 7 days and come back, and then could even be as much as two stints of 7 days. And if he was decided it was met the requirements, he was a leper. Okay, and leper in many cases today is synonymous for outcast. Okay, but he became an outcast. But he became an outcast because he couldn't go worship. Okay. Now, we don't totally understand the reason that the Lord had the clean and unclean. We want to put it as a health thing, and I think it's much more than that. Okay. But here's the point. Not only was that person unclean, but anybody who touched him would or her would become unclean, so they couldn't go worship. And we don't know exactly by Jesus' times how this was implemented, but most probably it meant that it couldn't go to the synagogue. Nobody wanted to be around you. You were a pariah, a leper. Okay. So that's really what we're talking about here, not so much disease, although disease is part of it. Okay. And you'll remember that a leper and under the law of Moses in Leviticus 14 chapter that was cured. So if you have psoriasis and it goes away, then you went to the priest and he declared you clean, and then you had to offer sacrifices. And there are a number of sacrifices you could offer, mainly two animals, but if you couldn't afford two animals, you could order two birds. Okay, so there was a ritual that went through, and then they says, you're clean, you can come to worship. People that touch you are not unclean. Now, as far as we know, this touching would include your family. Okay, your family couldn't touch you. Okay, they couldn't be around you. In fact, even in the law of Moses, there are rules for houses that get similar kinds of things. I guess it was mostly like mold, okay, and the house could eventually be torn down because of it, because it was unclean. It was untouchable. It was something that the community had to remove. Okay, so a leper was a person who was removed from his community. But I don't want you to forget this. Jesus did not hesitate about touching lepers. In fact, he'll do it here, okay? Which made him ceremonially unclean. And you remember, Jesus in many cases was a stickler for following the law of Moses, okay? We'll see this. But he didn't mind touching a leper. In fact, he tells his disciples to cleanse lepers, okay? So there's more going on in this story than we might think on the first reading. Okay, this is probably a good picture. I kind of like this one. This is, at least in my mind, what goes on in the story. The man has got some kind of disease, but you'll see he's kind of in the community there, but everybody's standing back from him. Many lepers evidently had to live outside in the countryside because people didn't want them around. Okay, all right. Okay, just before we get into the scripture, just remember that we are in Galilee. Jesus has been primarily here in Bethsaida and Capernaum. He sets up home evidently in Simon Peter's house. But then in the story, he moves out here into a wider area, and somewhere out in here is where our story takes place. Okay, this is Jesus beginning his Galilean ministry after his baptism, which, by the way, probably took place. You got to remember that doesn't work that way in this area here. Okay, all right. So now we're going to divide our scripture into two parts. This is kind of the introduction, but I want you to remember that the verse before this, Jesus is doing three things. He's teaching, he's healing, and he's casting out demons. And he has become a very, very popular person because of this. Okay, almost kind of like a rock star of his day. People want to be around him, just like they'll want to be around him later because he feeds them. Okay, so this is kind of what's going on. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, that's Jesus, departed and went out into a desolate place. So we can imagine that he went up into some hill, some valley, some place where nobody was there, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him, and they said, everyone is looking for you. So we see that when Jesus goes into a desolate place, when he goes and gets off to himself, when he goes out to be tempted, when he goes and prays, it's a change is taking place in his ministry. Okay, you might say he's moving from one stage to another. Okay, he had to talk to the Lord about it. Okay, you know, the Lord talked to Jesus directly, but Jesus also talked to the Lord by praying. Praying was a great boon to him, but also he had to get away from people. Okay, now I want you to realize, have you ever been around dirty people? Now, I'm not talking about people that talk dirty. I'm talking about people that stink, that never bathe. Okay. Are you volunteering, or you say you have been around people like that? Yeah, okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, you just don't want to be around them, okay? Well, Jesus is a sinless man, and he's around all these sinners, and at some point, it's good to get away, okay? I am sure in many ways it bothered him more than it would bother you and me, okay? All right, but he, of course, was better at dealing it with than we would be. So he has to get away. But Peter comes to him and says, everyone is looking for you. And he said, let's go into the next towns that I can preach there, for that is why I came out. In other words, I've spent my time here in the north part of the Sea of Galilee. It's time for us to move on. And evidently one of these reasons is, as we'll show you later, because he had been, the healing had taken over his ministry. Okay, just like after feeding the 5,000, the feeding will take over his ministry. And so he says, let's go here. And because this is interesting, and he went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And there's something missing there from what he was doing first. It's healing. Okay. So evidently this has been put on hold or moved to the back burner, or he says, I'm going to do less of this. Okay, because while healing is a part of my ministry, it's not the main part. Okay, and I don't want it to get in the way of my real ministry, which is teaching. And then he continues to cast out demons, and we'll see stories like that as you read through Mark. Okay, so this begins. Now we begin the meat of the story. It's this very simple story. He's somewhere in Galilee. He's gone and he's prayed, he's gotten away from the crowds, recharged his spiritual batteries, whatever you want to call it, and now he's widening his ministry, okay? And I think it's fair to say more emphasis on teaching, because remember, demonic possession was went against his teaching, okay? And he had to control it, okay? Remember, he says to the demons he wouldn't let them acknowledge that he was the Christ. Okay, so anyway, so here we go. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling to him, said, if you will, you can make me clean. And moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will. In other words, I want to. Okay, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. So, just a simple story, isn't it? Just a quick healing. We see some of these other places, you know, quick healing, but a little more to the story. But Jesus sternly, this is the word, sternly, in other words, seriously, I wonder if he shook his finger at him, okay, charged him and set him away at once. And so he has touched him, the man has come to him. We can imagine that there's crowds around Jesus when he comes. We can imagine that these crowds back away because they don't want to be unclean, okay? They don't want to catch this disease, spiritual or physical, okay? But then he sends him away, okay? He sends him away and say nothing to anyone but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing. That would be the sacrifice which you offer, and I would assume that he would just do a bird, since I'm guessing he wasn't a rich man, although I guess he could have been. But as Moses commanded, it's a proof for them. So you go on away. Go find a priest and get back into the community of the Jewish religion, because you have been, not only have you been separated from it because you're unclean, but you've been separated from all your brothers and sisters, and the Jews saw themselves as brothers and sisters because they don't want to be unclean. Okay. But he went out and began to talk freely about it. Okay, now this is an interesting part of the story. And to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. So our story begins in desolate places and it ends in desolate places. And I got to say to myself, did Jesus really expect him to keep quiet? Okay, I doubt that we would keep quiet about it, okay? I'm guessing that we would have been so overjoyed that we just had to tell the news. It tells us something about the gospel, doesn't it? Okay, it ought to be something that gushes out of us because it's good news. And the fact that this guy was clean is good news, isn't it? And of course, he's got to tell his relatives. He's got to tell the people of the synagogue, I've been to the priest. You know, I've gotten this thing done. I'm back. Well, how are you back? Well, Jesus cured me. Okay. All right. But it causes Jesus problems. Okay. And that's pretty much the whole story. Any questions? Where'd Brittany go? Okay. But Well, we've got a little bit more here to talk about, don't we? All right. Okay. What are the lessons from this story? Okay. Well, the one that I don't have a bullet up here for is sometimes we miss the import of stories because we don't understand what's going on. If we think of this as a sickness thing and not as a ceremonial or religious thing or as a social thing, we miss some of it. So I don't have a bullet for that. But first, two actions of the leper teach us something. Okay? Two actions. One, he came to him. Okay? Now, Jesus is going throughout Galilee, going to towns. The leper is an outcast. They don't want him in town. But he says, I'm going into town where Jesus is, and he came to Jesus. And that takes a little moxie, doesn't it? It takes a little guts. Okay? It takes a little strong will. Okay? And we can imagine. Okay? We can imagine. I'm willing to do this. I don't care about you people. You really aren't treating me very nice. Okay? Okay. It is important that we come to Jesus. Jesus calls us. Jesus beckons us. Jesus attracts us, but Jesus doesn't grab us by the collar and say, go. Okay. He came to Jesus. Were there other lepers around? Were there other people that Jesus was not healing at this time? My guess is yes. But he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. Now, it also tells us a little bit something. He must have had this idea that Jesus won't treat me like everybody else is treating me. That he won't say, get away, get out of town. I guess you could take a stick and drive a leper out of town and not become unclean. Okay, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. You know, if somebody comes down and sits down at your doorstep that you don't want to be around, you know, you got to get him out of there some way. And my guess is this man had been treated that way, but he must have had this idea that Jesus was not. That there was something attractive about him to Jesus. Okay. Now, we're pretty sure he was not a good-looking man because he had the disease. Okay, but he must have known that if I come to Jesus, I will not be rejected, or at least to say, it's worth a try. Okay, all right. That tells us something about our own lives. Okay, Jesus does not want to push us away. Jesus does not want to say, no, I don't want you around. Okay, Jesus wants us. Number two, he said, you can. And you can heal me. And he didn't say this after Jesus says, I don't want to have anything to you. He just came to him and says, you can do it if you want to, if you will. He knew something about Jesus that I think we forget. Okay. He knew that Jesus had power. He knew Jesus could do things which are beyond what you and I can even understand, much less make happen. He couldn't cure himself. Okay? He didn't have the ability, but he understood that Jesus had power and will. And that is a great part of the gospel, isn't it? That this good news about Jesus is not only that he can save, but that he wants to. Okay? That he wants to save. Finally, three actions of Jesus in reverse order. Okay, we're going from back to front. We got the leper in the proper order in the story, but we're going backwards for Jesus because I think the first is maybe the most important. Jesus sternly charged him, say nothing to anyone. Okay? We should not make too much of healing in Jesus' ministry. We should just make the right amount. Okay. Healing, casting out demons, performing signs and miracles, doing things that he did was not the story. That was supporting stuff for the story. So when Jesus had trouble getting his message out because he had been doing too much healing, he backed off on it. Why? Because the gospel is not that you'll be cured of any illness that you have other than sin. Okay? Say nothing. In other words, it's important at this time in my ministry that people not think that I am the Messiah. Okay? Because I've got 3 years of work that I need to do, 3 years of preaching, 3 years of training apostles, 3 years of doing all the things that Jesus did before I meet the opposition at the end of my earthly life. Okay? I've got to manage the opposition. That's kind of a modern way of saying it, isn't it? Okay. So it's important for us to know that while we're important to Jesus, we're not the only thing important to Jesus. Okay? I heard we have a song that said, Jesus died for me alone. I don't know why we sing that. That's just not true. Now, you know what the song is saying. Okay, this is what Jesus did is very personal to me, and that's true. But Jesus didn't die for you alone. If he died alone for one person, it's me. Okay, you don't get to have him all. He's died for millions and millions and millions of people. In fact, you can make a very strong case from the Bible that if there's 6 billion people in the world, he died for all 6 billion. He would love for all 6 billion to come to him, just like that leper came to him. Okay, but you and I aren't the most important thing. Okay, the gospel is more important than we are. Okay, Jesus said, I will. I want to. I'm in there for you. I'm going to do this. I've kind of said, I'm going to back off here a little, but I am looking at you and I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a special case for you. And that's probably what that song is saying, isn't it? Jesus makes a special case for each and every one of us who come to him. Okay? And we say to ourselves, well, how can he do that? Well, he's better at it than we are. He's stronger at it than we are. He can do things that we can do. But Jesus wants to do good. He wanted to do good for this leper. He wants to do good for us. He also wants to do good for everybody else in the whole world. And then finally, Jesus was moved with pity. My guess is that it wasn't pity for the lesions or boils, white spots or whatever on this man's skin. I could be wrong on this. My guess is it was pity for this man's ostracization, his being a social outcast, going through everything that he had to go through. We are all want to be part of a group. We feel bad when we're left out of the group. Have you ever been out with some people and they've been going here and doing this and they're sitting here and nothing talking about all the stuff that you're doing? And you go, well, can't y'all talk about that when I'm not around? We want to be part of the group, and this person wasn't part of the group. And it divorced him from worshiping God properly. It divorced him from going to the synagogue. It divorced him from all the things which developed his identity as a child of God. And Jesus had pity. And I'm going to tell you, where would we be if Jesus didn't have pity on us? I'm guessing none of us have anything that qualified for leprosy back then. If you do, you're still in here, aren't you? We don't kick you out, okay? But Jesus has pity on us wherever we are. And we need to have pity on other people, okay? We need to have pity on other people. Pity has become a word, has a negative connotation. Okay, you ever heard the term pity party? Let's just have a pity party. We'll all just go feel sorry for ourselves. You know, don't you pity me? In fact, if we say if a person's piteous, that is not a good thing, that's kind of a bad thing. You're just kind of crummy. Okay. But as it's used here, it has to do with empathy, it has to do with sympathy, and it has to do with valuing a person beyond the situation that they're in. And where would we be if Jesus didn't do that for us? Okay. We'd be piteous, not pitied. So, some lessons, and then the lesson is yours. Failure to follow Jesus can teach and set his ministry back. Have you ever been mean to somebody and then tried to invite them to church? It probably does not work. They probably say something like, I don't want to go to church with you. Have you ever said something snide about somebody and then said, well, let me share Jesus with you? You've put up a big roadblock. You haven't followed what the Lord said. You have done things which makes it harder for a person to come to Jesus. And that's a little bit what the leper did, didn't he? When he and I can forgive him. I can understand with. I can commiserate with him. I can say why. You know, I was sick, and here, you know, I got to talk about it. But it does set back the ministry somewhat. So just remember, if you are not a minister of the gospel in the formal sense, you still have in your life that you can do or not do to enhance the ministry of the gospel. Okay? Don't be a setback. Don't be a chain, as we used to say in the Air Force, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Don't be in the way. Christian purity is not outward, but of the heart. We forget in this story that according to the law of Moses, Jesus made himself unclean. Did you notice that? He touched this man. No indication that Jesus removed himself from the congregation. I think it was till the next sundown. Okay. It may have been 7 days. I forgot to look that up. But it was a temporary thing. You were unclean. It wasn't a did you catch a cold from this guy kind of thing. It was just for this long. Jesus didn't go through that. Okay. And I think it goes back to having pity, because he realized that the Old Testament concept of uncleanness is a bodily thing, and it's not uncleanness of the heart. And Jesus looked on the heart, not on the outward appearance of a person. How many times we see a person who on the outward, his or her outward visage says, I don't want to be around you. You're poison, you're unclean, you're dirty, you're not living the right kind of life, okay? But Jesus looked at a person's heart, okay? Jesus looked at a person's heart. So we're not into the unclean, unclean, get out of here business. We're into the business of come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Faith sometimes requires boldness. Bravery does not end at baptism. Okay. Bravery, boldness, self-confidence in the Lord is something that the Lord needs. Needs people who are willing to take out that step. Okay. You know, I believe that Jesus will help me, but I'm not going to do anything which might require it. Okay. I want to be a better person, but I don't want to change. Okay. That's not faith. Okay. Because it's basically saying, well, I believe that Jesus will make me a better person, but if I do something, it's not going to work. Well, faith doesn't work that way. Okay. Faith works like this. If I follow the Lord, he's going to follow his promises. If I do what the Lord says, things will be better. Things will improve, if not in this world, in the next. Shrinking violets are not required. Okay. We love old Peter because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. But at least the guy said what he thought and wasn't afraid. I had a boss, I think I've told you many times, he says, never pass up a chance to keep your mouth shut. Well, that works in a bureaucracy, but it doesn't work in life. Okay, now, real quick. The other side, there's a lot of truth in that. You know, engage brain, put brain in gear before engaging mouth. Somebody help me out with that. What was that one? You know what the one I'm saying? Okay. Think before you look, before you leap. Think before you talk. I'm not going there. But also, how many times do we see things that are wrong, and we just keep quiet about it? You know, I have noticed in watching TV. That is becoming more and more common for popular TV shows to denigrate and say bad things about Jesus. Okay? Now, you just see it, okay? And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to put up with it. Now, I don't write nasty letters, but I don't watch those TV programs anymore, okay? If they're going to say bad things about Jesus, I love Jesus. And it's just like if they said bad things about my mother or my daddy, I don't want to be part of it. Okay, we need to have the boldness tempered with Jesus' character to live in our lives. Faith sometimes requires boldness. Christian purity is not outward. Failure to follow Jesus' teachings can set his ministry back. There we go.